Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're looking forward to having you journey with us on this Let's Face the Issues broadcast today. We encourage you to join in the dialogue and discussion. We're going to have some super discussion today in reference to not only voting, but also in reference to the tragedy that took place and the landing on Sunday, and prior to that on Friday with the shooting at the Raines High School football game. Before we get into the dialogue and discussion, let me remind you that you can join in this discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413, get you straight through to the studio and right to the microphone so that we can have the discussion together. This broadcast each day as it comes to you is designed around you, our listener, with the intent of getting you involved in the issues that we're faced with daily as we walk in this life. And by the way, let me remind you, when we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of ideological intent or philosophy or some philosophical dogma in some denomination. It's a matter of what I call a central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? After all, it's not what I think or say or do. It's what God's Word says that ought to impact my life and your life as we serve the Lord and face issues each day. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He said that to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus Christ himself made a very profound statement, a declaratory statement about the truth of the word of God. He says, "Thy word is truth." And so when we look for answers to issues, let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to turn to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. That is a source book that is made up of truth completely, not partial and not some issues, but all issues. But ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to be talking about the subject, why do guns kill people? I know that sounds like a little irrational question, but you'll see the rationality behind it when we get to it in a moment. But first of all, let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, today is primary election day. And the question that begs to be asked and challenges you to answer, have you voted yet? Let me challenge you and encourage you to go out and vote. I know it's sprinkling outside. Some places it may not be raining, other places it may be. But I believe that you would find it beneficial to vote. And I don't think you'll find huge, humongous lines outside so that you'll have to tolerate the weather and the raining scenario, whether it's raining or not. But every vote counts. Every vote counts. Your vote counts. And may very well be that your vote, my vote, will make the difference in the candidates that we would need to have in office to serve us, not only in Duval County, but also for our state. There are so many vital issues that's facing our state. There are vital issues that's facing our nation. And there's some very vital issues facing our city, ladies and gentlemen. And as Christians, may I say this, as Christians, as moral, ethical citizens, we must be salt and light in the society in which we're living. It's an impossibility for you to gripe or bellyache or complain about the conditions in our city, our state, our nation, if you fail to vote. Voting is a right of every citizen, and I don't want to see any citizen foreclose that right. I can say very honestly and very forthrightly, I've not missed an election, local, state, or national, since I registered to vote. And may I simply say, very candidly, that's been a little less than 100 years ago. But nevertheless, I think it's our right and it's our responsibility. And when we come to what the Scripture says, the Scripture challenges us as Christians that we are to pray for those that have authority over us. That includes our elected leaders. And we need to pray. In fact, in that text in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, the Scripture says very clearly, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." And then it also makes it very, very clear in that second verse, as we pray for kings and for those who have authority over us, the Scripture says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And the connotation there is in the Scripture, if we're not willing to pray for our leadership, vote for, and be involved in it, then we need not expect to have a quiet and peaceable life. But ladies and gentlemen, this election today, we have the opportunity to cast our ballots for a governor, for the judges, several judges, circuit judge and Duval County judges, for tax collector, agricultural commissioner. So often we hear people complaining about who is in office that perhaps you sat at home and didn't vote. I don't know if you recognize it or recall the statistical data, but in 2012, that's 2012, 51% of Christians across the nation did not vote. 51% did not vote. So may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is our responsibility to go out and vote. It is a privilege. It is a constitutional right. And it's a responsibility for you, our listeners, to vote. I can't urge upon you enough the seriousness of this election. This election, both our primary and then the election, November the 6th, this election year, I believe, holds in the balance of the direction that America will go into in the next 10, 15 years. As a result of who we put in office locally and statewide, it will also have a bearing on what takes place in Washington and what takes place at the ballot box November the 6th of this year. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our delight to have today Congressman Jay Fant. He is with us on Let's Face the Issues. We're going to be talking about some of these issues that face our city and that face our nation and the reason that it is so imperative that we vote. Jay, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. And yes, every vote counts. And I certainly know that, and you know that as well.
Tell us why you know that so firsthand and up close, Jay.
Your comments ring true with me. You, of course, know this. Some of your listeners may know that when I ran for the State House for the first time in 2014, that my election was decided by two, not 2%, two votes out of the entire district went to a recount. And to this day, people stop me just about every day, Dr. Youngblood, and say, it was my vote that made a difference. And every single one of them is right when they say that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I am. Go ahead.
And your listeners, Dr. Youngblood, would be certainly well to remember that their votes do count. And there's nothing more disheartening than to hear a Floridian say, well, you know, my vote just doesn't really matter. It's just not true. And in Florida, we know that. I know that. And this election could be key there, especially for the faithful voters, the believers, who this is our time to be activists, and we can make a difference.
Well, one of the things that I've always said, Congressman, I believe our listeners that are actively involved in political life, and I believe that we ought not to segregate, segment, and dissect our political life, our social life, our spiritual life, because in the Scripture, it is all one whole. And I say to any Christian, it's an impossibility to say, I love Jesus, and I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to be salt and light in the community in which we're living in. Jay, would you tell our listeners some of the things that you're passionate about and what you see as the vital, pivotal issues facing our city and our state and our nation that should be the motivation for our listeners to go out and vote today?
I sure will. And two comments on that. The first one is that your listeners, Dr. Youngblood, can truly have confidence that there are ways to determine who are like-minded elected officials could be in these elections. I'll give you an example of this. And I've served two terms. I'm going to let someone fill my seat after me in this election. So what I have done is I've interviewed the three candidates in the primary, and I've asked them directly, are you a fiscal, are you a social conservative? Where do you worship? And are you pro-life? And it goes on from there. And as people get conversational in the interviews, you get a comfort for where they are. And you certainly can detect whether a candidate is uncomfortable where they are. And for those of you who live on the west side of Jacksonville, do go to my Facebook page, the Facebook page for Jay Fant, and you can see my review of this. But the point is this, Dr. Youngblood, if we just do a little bit of homework, we can put the right people in office, and then we can hold them accountable for what they said they would do. And that's where we tend to forget, because we vote and we go away. But I know you don't do that, Dr. Youngblood. You hold elected officials accountable, and I certainly seek to do the same as I exit that particular office. Let's get to the issue of the day. It's the issue of the day, unfortunately, because of a string of tragedies that have been occurring here in Jacksonville, and it comes back to gun violence. And when gun violence occurs, you and I both know that there is a knee-jerk reaction from the left that would want to change our Constitution and take your gun rights away. In fact, some elected officials do it without changing the Constitution. They just chip away at it.
That's right.
This election should be very much about our elected officials who realize we don't have more guns causing more problems in this nation. What we have is an issue with the heart. And what happened at the Landing this weekend and what happened at the high school on Friday night are examples of the human heart. And I sent you earlier today, Dr. Youngblood, a photo that you've probably already seen in the local press.
Yes.
Of some activists downtown following the shooting, probably either today or yesterday, that had a sign that said, elected officials, quit being silent, do something. And the irony to this is that elected officials have been silent, but not for what those activists want. They want us to take away guns from everybody. Not only is that impossible, it certainly won't make us any safer. But more importantly, Dr. Youngblood, elected officials have been silent over the decades of harm that have been that has been done in this country by bad Supreme Court rulings that include taking the Bible out of the classroom, taking our beliefs out of our classrooms in this country, and frankly, in the pop culture. So as we suffer through this bombardment of contrary messages to the scriptures, our young people are drowning in it, and they're becoming violent. That's where elected officials say, you know what? It's not going to be about a new gun law. It's not. It's going to be about whether we get serious about mentoring these young people who are from broken families and returning a sense of faith and biblical scripture to our schools. That's the mission that all of us who are listening can be a part of on this election day.
Absolutely. And Jay, on the very heels of that, I find it fascinating and sad, and you're exactly right what you've just articulated. And one of the facets that is so often overlooked, and I've noticed in reading two or three articles, by the way, extensive articles published by the Florida Times Union, since Friday night shooting at Raines High School, and then the mass shooting, as they call it, the mass killings at the Landing on Sunday afternoon about 1 o'clock. But there's in this rally in this group there, it included several groups that were each one vying for their little piece of the pie as to their activist points of view. And let me just read you a blurb from that. Perhaps you've read it and our listeners may not have. But this particular article says, Jacksonville has become a war zone, shouted Philip Baker, a minister from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Jacksonville. He said he told the crowd in front of him that the nation has more guns than people and something needs to be done in the government in order to solve this problem. Listen to this statement, Congressman. We know that it's not prayer that's the solution, end quote. He said, and that's coming from me as a pastor. I just made a little marginal note on that article. It says, wow, This is not what God's word says. God's word says very clearly that we need to pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, and allow him to heal our land. But this is one of the problems that we have. It's coming from an activist preacher, as he calls himself. And I say that, you perhaps can't, I can, because that little boy says I are one. And so as a result of that, I can simply say, this is not coming from a pastor preacher that knows the word of God. And then further in the article from Bonnie Hendricks of the Women's March of Jacksonville, served as the host for the rally, and she kicked off the event by listing crime statistics that show just how violent the city of Jacksonville is. And she goes back and starts articulating 800 robberies and 300 assaults with guns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She's trying to stir the pot to cause anger and hostility. But even beyond that, I don't know if you heard the interview on Channel 4 from Reginald Gaffney, the 7th District City Councilman that covers the landing. And Reginald Gaffney's statements were absolutely astounding to me. He did not know anything about it at that time. It was at 3:45. I wrote it down exactly when I watched the news on Sunday afternoon. At 3:45 p.m. Sunday evening, the news media happened to be Channel 4. They were personally interviewing Councilman Gaffney on the street corners in downtown outside the landing. He says, this is caused by people that's left out of society, end quote. He said, and I quote, the people, referring to the killer, the people just get frustrated with life and want to go out and kill people, end quote. Further, he says, we must do something about guns in Jacksonville. Fourthly, he says, perhaps we need to have our city council do some kind of gun laws. And fifth, he says, Jacksonville needs to have a discussion about the many guns in our city, end quote. I find that absolutely ironic, absolutely insane, coming from someone that should know better and automatically jumping to conclusions that this tragedy had to have happened by someone that was frustrated with life, someone that was displaced in life, someone that did not have a voice in life, and as a result of that just went out and started shooting people before knowing the reality that it's a 24-year-old lad from Baltimore, Maryland, that plays video games as a livelihood, and it's hooked on the video mindset. Speak to that. Address that. What does that say to you?
Dr. Youngblood, a couple of points. Number one, your listeners know this. Making guns illegal, we can make all sorts of rules and make all sorts of ordinances that prevent law-abiding citizens from carrying a firearm. The legislature this past year made some unfortunate infringements upon some of those rights. But the fact of the matter is, that doesn't keep anyone with ill intent who owns a firearm illegally or can borrow or steal one or even make one from committing crimes. It just means that you cannot defend yourself. So don't fall for the left-wing rhetoric. I know your listeners don't. And in this day and age, when our young people and, frankly, our young adults, adolescence seems to be stretched out forever now, Dr. Youngblood, but are bombarded in the pop culture, in the video game culture, with violence. Now, I understand that the video game tournament at the landing was not a video game tournament involving the depiction of killing and firearms. But right. We all know that that is a rampant problem in America, is the obsession of people with violent video games that become desensitized. And there's only one thing that can stop that, and that's a change of heart and to turn away from such vividly graphic images. And the one thing that bothers you as much as it bothers me, Dr. Youngblood, is when someone on the left says, we don't need your thoughts and prayers. But I'm telling you, of course, Dr. Youngblood, who know this, and everyone who listens, that's exactly what we need. We Amen. Need our elected officials to pray and say, how can we reach the hearts of the inner city? How can we reach the hearts of those who would commit violence? What is it about our society that is so contaminating our minds? How do we get our schools to come back to God? How do we get our families to realize it's the family that is the bulwark against this evil? How can we encourage mentors and potential mentors out there to say, you know what, I'm going to invest a little bit of time, maybe once a week, with an at-risk youth to make sure they don't wind up in this situation. That is the action. Those are the prayers that lead to the type of action that leads to long-term solutions in this society. But today, and in November, we have elections. And the left is going to force these issues into the public consciousness about whether we think gun laws are going to solve our problems. They're not. We can't fall for it. Nothing short of a revival in Jacksonville and across this country, Dr. Youngblood, is going to bring the hearts of our young people back home. But you know what? It can be done. It can be done. It can be done when your listeners get on their knees in prayer during and after this broadcast. It can be done when we decide how to spend our extra time and how to apply it to people in need. And that's why I'm glad you're on the air, Dr. Youngblood. And that's why I'm grateful you've invited me on today to talk about that.
Well, I'm thankful for the privilege, and I'm thankful that you're available and taking time out of your busy schedule to do this. Jay, one of the things that I've been advocating for several years now, and I'm delighted to see that we got about five or six states in our union that's inculcated that in their laws in the state of Georgia being the first one. More recent one was the state of Kentucky. Back in May of this year, Governor Matthew Bevin signed into law requiring Bible to be taught in the classrooms. I say requiring, it's requiring it to be as an elective. It can be chosen as an elective in any one of the five disciplines of study, but it is legal to do so. Most are not aware, and I'm sure that you would be, the opinion of the U.S. Supreme Court in 1963, where we call it outlawing Bibles in the classroom, and that's probably what I could call a misnomer. Yes, it outlawed Bible from the standpoint of the teacher standing and teaching it as a religious subject, requiring students to read it, requiring students to pray, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not against that, by the way, but that was part of the Supreme Court ruling in 1963. But as a footnote to that ruling, if you go by, anybody can Google it and pull that up. As a footnote to that ruling, there's a very, very short, perhaps a five, six, seven line paragraph where the justice has said this in no means requires that says the Bible is illegal, but it just simply cannot be taught as a religious subject, but it can be taught as history, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, we have leaders, legislators across the nation, state by state by state, that's recognizing that we can implement laws that allow the Bible to be taught as an elective, as history, as science, as government, et cetera, in the social studies, et cetera, where they can take it. And I've said and been advocating that we need to do that across the nation. And there's an organization here in Jacksonville called Educators for Life, the letter four, Educators for Life, that's getting petitions signed now that hopefully we'll be able to put it on the ballot next spring to allow the citizens to vote on whether or not Bible can be taught, should be taught in the Duval County schools. I've tried to get through to the superintendent of schools here in Duval County, and I've not had a listening ear yet. But may I say that the answer to the problem, guns have never jumped off the shelf. Guns have never jumped out of someone's pocket to kill someone. It's the evil, wicked heart. And may I say, if we can have the opportunity to have our young people, just as you were talking about mentoring some of those at-risk young people, many of our young people today do not have the Bible in the home. Many young people today do not have the privilege of having a Christian mom and dad to teach them right from wrong, as it used to be called, in the home. Many young people today are not involved in churches, but we could have that opportunity through the classroom setting where Bible is an elective, and if nothing else, taught as history so that they will recognize the God, the creator, controller of the universe. What are your thoughts on Bible being in the classroom?
I couldn't be more in favor of what you speak of, Dr. Youngblood. And let's give credit where credit is due. You mentioned the Kentucky legislation. The governor there, Matt Bevin, who was a schoolmate of mine at Washington and Lee University, where we attended and graduated, is a rising star in politics and is a plain speaker to exactly what you say, Dr. Youngblood, is that, you know, having the Bible in school isn't proselytizing and shouldn't be illegal. Now, I personally wouldn't mind if a teacher did care to witness in a school. But right
yes.
now, our public schools don't allow that kind of franchise to occur. But Governor Bevin is right to say there is absolutely no reason to persecute the understanding of the most famous documents ever created in civilization. We know it's divine, and in time, others will know that as well if they're just exposed to and understand it. Even locally, Dr. Youngblood, the good Lord uses everybody. A local Democrat in the Florida legislature moved and passed legislation that will require schools and classrooms to have "In God We Trust" posted in our classrooms. And the left doesn't like it. They're going to continue not to like it, and they'll probably fight it. But these little victories add up over time. At the end of the day, the more we can bring the reminder that the sovereign Lord is over us in all our context, whether it's work, school, or play, the better off we will be. And the young man, for instance, from Baltimore, who is now facing his judgment, would, instead of pulling his firearm out when he was unhappy with his video game result, would have instead pulled out his memory of what he leans on when he's frustrated. And he would have leaned on Proverbs or Psalms or the New Testament. And that's where we go right. And this country can get back to that. And it's these instances that our elected leaders should use to point to that. We shouldn't dance around it. We shouldn't make vague statements like, yes, we've got to think about this. We've really got to get serious about this now. Now, that's nonsense. That's air. What we need to say is we need God back in people's lives. We need families to turn to God again. We need people to find their children again. And we need to remember who our Lord is and who we worship. He'll tell us how to behave. And Amen. The rest takes care of it from there.
That's right. One of the things, too, and it goes back to the point, and I'll digress for a moment to come back to the point at hand, that the focus ought to be on serving God. The focus ought to be on what the Scripture says, letting that be the first, final, and foremost authority in our lives. But most of the time, as you know, having been in that field of endeavor, and I call it a minister for the Lord, anytime you're in the realm of the political arena, because the Scripture says that government is of God and government is a minister, a servant of God. And so therefore, anybody that's in politics, I say, you're serving God, whether you realize it or not, because that's a biblical truth and a biblical fact. But so many of our politicians today, Jay, want to, first of all, jump and say we need to throw more money at a situation. For example, the 5th District Congressman, Al Lawson, when being interviewed by telephone at 3:50 p.m. on Sunday afternoon on Fox News, says we need to get to the federal government involved in Jacksonville, quote, end quote. He said we need to have more funding for the mentally ill, and we need perhaps to do something about guns. Now, we can say it's a mental illness problem if we want to, and sometimes that is the case. There is a mental imbalance, but most of the time it's the wickedness of the heart. But it's not a matter of throwing more money at it. One of these in the rally that's headlined on the newspaper today, several of those organizational speakers, one of those speakers started then trying to have a racial ethnic division. He said the problem is in Jacksonville, and he was blaming the mayor, and the city council said the problem in Jacksonville with the mayor and the city council, they're unwilling to get the white people in the better districts of Jacksonville to spend the tax money to take care of this problem in the blighted areas. So all of a sudden, there is the challenge between ethnicity and trying to pit one group against the other in our city. And that is not the answer. God does not see skin color. God does not see ethnicity. God sees the heart. So we've got about 2 minutes. Speak to that issue for us as we close this broadcast today, Congressman.
I sure hate to see the politicizing by the elected officials of tragedies like this to take advantage of where money might come for a program or to their what their special interests are. Money isn't going to solve problems. If money solved problems, America wouldn't have any problems. This is the wealthiest nation in the history of civilization, and God's blessing has been upon this land. But God is asking us to look to him in this instance right now. He's asking us to look to him and say, how should we pray and then act based on the actions of evildoers in our community? If our community holds hands in faith, our problems are going to go away, and we'll have to spend less money doing it too, Gene.
Absolutely. One of the things that I would like to wrap up with today, Jay, if we would, say again, everybody listening needs to vote. You need to go out and cast a vote. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but you need to vote based on what the Word of God would be pleased with, and that is voting for the candidate that's going to stand for truth and stand for that which honors God and not ashamed to have a relationship to Christ and to make that public. And then we need to hold them accountable. And then the second thing, Jay, I believe that we need to challenge our listeners with, that we need to pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and humble ourselves as a people, as a city, as a state, and as a nation, that God can heal our land. We've got about 30 seconds. Wrap up for us, if you would, please.
Amen to that, Dr. Youngblood. Every vote counts, and take action today with your votes, and let's get on our knees and pray today for wisdom and insight. God's got a plan for us and our wonderful community that we live in. Thanks for having me on, Dr. Youngblood. It's always good to be on your show.
It's a delight and a blessing. Thank you so much, and may you have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. It's been a blessing to be on the air with you. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.